welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us this hour here on the U2 America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. I'm Amy Fuller. Coming up, we are going to be talking to our friend of the show, Kristen Sunana Walker, with the Mental Health News Radio Network. She is the CEO of it all and one of the podcasters for this vast network that, well, she's actually got some really interesting things coming. I don't think she can reveal them yet, but stay tuned. She's downloaded in over 170 countries. Topics run the gamut. She's going to talk about some things that all of us face. Many workers are still reluctant to miss work for mental health issues. And, you know, we're going to talk about people are worried enough about taking time off when they really have a physical ailment or a cold, let alone, you know, if you need a mental health day. We're going to talk about that and why maybe it's important enough to pay attention to. Also, Bart Marquise of OpsLens.com. He's one of the contributors there and former undersecretary to President Bush. He has a few recent articles out, the Czech nuclear fade, where do they get electricity if Putin gets angry? And Europe held hostage to Russia's Nord Stream 2. And we're going to talk about the border crisis, the Mueller report, the sanctuary city thing, where there's this talk that the White House said, OK, you want to bring in migrants, illegals, and not make them wait for asylum in Mexico? Let's put them in the sanctuary cities. And so just some of the political headlines of the day with him. But also trending has been some big entertainment news. Disney has a new streaming service that's coming out. That's been trending. And along with that, the force is strong in Chicago this weekend. Secrets from the conclusion of the Star Wars trilogy are being unveiled. Big Star Wars celebration in the Windy Cities all weekend. It's sort of like its own Comic-Con with panels, costumes, lots of Star Wars fever and revelations. It's Star Wars Episode 9, and the title now revealed, The Rise of Skywalker. The Rise of Skywalker, so they've been waiting to hear about that. Comes out December 20th, 2019. Teasers and trailers released, and another spoiler alert, but it's trending, so I'm just going to tell you, Leia lives. Let's take a look.
We've passed on all we know. A thousand generations live in you now. But this is your fight.
Skywalker coming this December. I also want to tell you, National Pet Day was this week. It's still trending. People love sharing their pets. We're going to be sharing some of the best viral pet video with you as we go through the hour, and we're going to be right back here on America Trends. Stay tuned.
Yourself. Yeah, but it's super glassy. This is like really good.
No! It's not.
National Pet Day is still trending. It was Thursday, but people, you know, not everyone gets on social media every day. Isn't that a good thing? So they're still sort of putting up pictures of their pets and all the sweet little things and the cuties. And you know what? National Siblings Day is still trending too. That was this week, and people were putting up pictures and saying, thank you, family. So this is one good way social media sort of enhances our lives. We're going to show you a little more of that best viral pet video from around the web all during this show. So stick around, YouTube America TV Network and on Biz Talk Radio, and you're with America Trends. We are going to hit some of the political headlines of the day right now, though, with our friend Bart Markhuis. He's a former undersecretary to George W. Bush, career diplomat. He was a principal deputy assistant secretary of energy for international affairs. And he's never stopped. He's now a contributor for Ops Lens. Got a couple headlines this week. Bart, what are you talking about in your articles on OpsLens.com? And fill us in a little bit. How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Great, thank you.
What a funny funny news day. Funny news week. This,
I mean, right? It's just, you know, it really never ends. It's I always laugh at these people who are doing the stories on the Trump administration and what the news is like right now, because I don't know how you would parse what stories to cover, because it's literally a new chapter and a new saga every single day, right?
Well, let me talk a little bit about Putin and Russia and some of the things that we're seeing there.
Yeah.
That never ends. Putin's attempt to dominate the world and dominate Europe in particular.
He's a brilliant man. Stops. He'll always be ahead of the game, you know?
Yeah, it's no accident that judo is his sport. he's in a weak position, a weak country. He's weak politically, but he manages to come out ahead. So what he's doing now is it's a real power play, a squeeze play in Europe. He is trying to dominate the European energy sector by getting them addicted to Russian gas. He has a pipeline that goes through Central Europe called the Friendship Pipeline. He's got a pipeline called Nord Stream that goes through the Baltic Sea to Germany. And he's in the middle of building Nord Stream 2. He hasn't got all the permits for it yet. He's building from one end and then from the other, and saying, hey, we'll get the permits. Mighty Denmark is holding out right now and stopping it. But the whole purpose of this is to say, you don't need to buy gas from America. You don't need to have nuclear power. He's harnessed the green energy people, and he's got them protesting against nuclear power. And as soon as Germany ends its nuclear power, it will have nothing left for baseload power generation except gas, which he hopes comes solely from Russia. Hmm. And he's doing it in Germany, he's doing it in the Czech Republic. And I wrote two articles, one about Germany, one about the Czech Republic. But the essence is the same. What happens? Where do they get their electricity if Putin gets angry?
That's a good question. I could ask, what's the end game? And I guess it's world domination, as everybody wants. But what's between A and Z there, Bart? What will happen next? And will the U.S. react?
Yes, the U.S. is working furiously to export gas, to build export terminals. Many of them are being held up by environmental permitting regulations, by lengthy reviews. And it's funny, the Democrats are doing what Putin had to pay all kinds of political parties hundreds of millions of dollars to do for him in Europe. The Democrats here are doing for him, presumably for free. And they're slowing down the development process. We are also leaning on the Europeans and saying, please don't approve this pipeline. Please don't build this pipeline. The Nord Stream 2 is nothing more than a second syringe full of heroin into your other arm, and you're going to regret it when you're addicted to it. Germany has destabilized the entire European grid because they have so much wind and solar power, that when the wind blows too hard, they generate too much electricity, and they had to scramble. It was maybe 3 years ago. They had to scramble and try to shut it down because it almost killed the electric grid all throughout Europe, not just in Germany, because they were generating too much power. All these things, they're technical things, but people who say, oh, more wind, more solar, more renewables, they don't understand what you need is what they call baseload power. That means every time you turn on the switch, there will be electricity there waiting for you. With wind and solar, sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not, but you have to have baseload power. And there are only three or four ways to do that. Nuclear, hydro, gas, and coal. Am I leaving one out? I think that's it. And they're shutting down nuclear. They're shutting down coal. There is no hydro in the Czech Republic, and I don't think there's any. There's precious little, if any, in Germany. So now they're left with gas, natural gas. Hmm. And if they're getting it all from Russia, then Russia just shuts the valve if they're angry at Germany for something and leaves them freezing in the middle of the winter, leaves them without electricity in the middle of the summer. It's what he's done to Ukraine several times. He could do it to Germany. He could do it to all of Europe if this pipeline is built and they're dependent on Russian gas.
Well, that baseload matters, and that's how it's all calibrated. And about a minute left till break, we're going to hold you over, but wanted to say, you know, people remember a few weeks back, President Trump made fun of these Green Deal people here, saying, you know, he was at a campaign speech and doing some of his greatest hits, which they're hilarious. But he said, oh, honey, we want to watch TV tonight. Let's see if the wind's blowing the right way. And it was all sort of, you know, chuckles. But that's really the truth, isn't it?
It's really the truth. It's really the truth. I have a friend, the guy who invented the Segway is a friend of mine. I've stayed at his house in New Hampshire. He's got a wind turbine on a hilltop outside his house, and it generates 55,000 watts of electricity per hour, an unbelievable amount of electricity. And he said he has had so much trouble with it. Now, this was going back 10 years. He had to go to the grid because it would put out too much power and burn out his circuits.
Boy, we're a little too spoiled. I can see the politicians preaching to us that we should do it and then them not doing it as per usual. We're going to come back and talk about more, but I want to ask you if you think Europe, how they will respond to Putin. We'll come back right after this with Bart Markois. Thanks so much. Back now with Bart Markois, career diplomat, former undersecretary to President George W. Bush, contributor to OpsLens. And Bart, your latest articles had to do with Vladimir Putin trying to make Europe and all the world more reliant on them for many things. Gasoline. How do you think Germany and Europe will respond to what he is doing? What's your inclination?
Well, Germany, one indicator is what a previous one of Angela Merkel's predecessors did. He is Gerhard Schroeder. Mm-hmm. Schroeder is now the chairman of Rosneft, the Russian oil company.
Is he? I didn't realize that.
He is, yeah. And he was the guy who approved the original Nord Stream pipeline amid a very controversial, it was a very controversial decision, and he now is chairman of Rosneft. So that kind of gives you an indication of how Putin plays things now. He has hundreds of billions of dollars at his disposal, and he can deploy hundreds of millions to a politician, and sooner or later he will find somebody that will say, you know what, yeah, this is my soul is worth exactly $340 million.
Wow.
And will sell his soul for it. I think that we will be able to stop it, we'll be able to delay it for a long time, but if we could get our gas exports going quickly and show the Europeans that they could have a stable supply of natural gas, then we could stop it. But otherwise, it's just a matter of delaying the inevitable.
How amazing would that be after all this time? Any additional words on this at your articles
no,
on
ma'am.
OpsLens.com? Okay, because we've got so much to get to. I want to talk about the border crisis, Mueller and the aftermath, and then the sanctuary city issues. Should we drop the migrants there at the places that say, come on in, and we won't report you to anybody? But Something happened a few days back with Representative Ilhan Omar of Minnesota. She made a comment about something happened, people did something, and she was referring to 9/11. And it was so offensive to so many people that even the New York Post, they did a whole front page saying, here is your something. And they, just like this Twitter post about it, showed...
Yeah.
There's just so many horrible images of 9/11, and this is one of the ones that's least offensive and least sad and least paralyzing. So what did she say, Bart?
She was talking to CARE, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, and she was saying, yes, the great catastrophe of 9/11 was that there was a backlash against Muslims.
Wait, she said that's the great catastrophe. That was
that
the
was,
not
that
the
was
2,977 people killed by terrorists.
Exactly. She said some people did something, someone did something, and then the government came and attacked our civil rights. And that was the catastrophe. And the tin ear and the tone deafness of that comment just shows how out of touch she is with America. And you wonder, who was it exactly that voted for her? And I don't see them voting for her again. She wants to talk about anger at Muslims. People like Muslims. We all have Muslim friends. Muslims mm-hmm. are everywhere. We have neighbors, we have colleagues, and we like them. But when she says something like that, that's what people, that's the image that stays in somebody's mind and says, wait, is that what they think? And then they start thinking about their neighbor and say, my neighbor doesn't think that, does he? Does she? But Ilhan Omar is the one that's angering people. And then you had Rashida Tlaib stand up and say, yeah, she didn't say anything wrong. And the ever... eager young Miss Cortez, Ocasio-Cortez, said, oh, yeah, you guys are just haters. There's nothing wrong with this. And I called them the three sisters of the apocalypse. They're just harpies. They have little understanding of what they're saying and little understanding of the country, the people that they claim to be representing. And you wonder, well, who... Why are they in Congress? What are they there for? What do they think they're there for?
So many people wonder about the tone deafness of a lot of things that those three say, whether it's anti-Semitic or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the freshman congresswoman from New York, who, let's face it, she's got some creative math. But Tlaib, as you say, she said that Ilhan Omar's comments were taken out of context. How possibly could that be?
They weren't taken out of context at all. They were in perfect context. She said exactly what she meant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm fluent in Arabic. I spent 10 years in the Middle East. I have more Arab and Muslim friends than probably anybody in America mm-hmm. who is not Arab or Muslim themselves. I care about the integration of them into our society. But this is... And then to go, I think it was Ocasio-Cortez that said something about something to Dan Crenshaw, and said, "What have you done to help this situation? To do anything about this?"
Oh, he only served his country, didn't he? Right?
Yes, he lost an eye serving his country, and you know, again, the tone deafness, and attacking an American hero, and I'm just sick of the three of them. I don't understand why Nancy Pelosi is allowing them to go off the way they are. I don't understand why there's not a primary challenger already being groomed and funded in each one of those districts. This does not help the Democrats. It will not help the Democrats defeat President Trump. I mean, the more they talk, the better it is for me and the supporters of the president. But my gosh, what is it doing to America? Ripping apart the fabric of America. And Democrats themselves have got to be sick of defending the stupidity of these three harridans.
One wonders if Pelosi has completely lost control and cannot control them. Got to move on to the sanctuary city issue. And as of today, President Trump, it's reported, is doubling down on a plan to ship migrants, these migrants who come in and there's no place to put them, so they have to release them right away and hope they come back for their court dates, over 100,000 in March alone, mm-hmm. to sanctuary cities, sanctuary states, sanctuary counties. And there was some, I saw some back and forth on all the news sites over the past 24 hours saying the White House didn't really do that. Oh, yes, they did. But now Trump is doubling down, reportedly. So so what have you gleaned from this, Bart?
Well, I think it's a great idea. And I mean that sincerely, yeah. Not just, you know, it's a little snarky to say, yeah, put him in Nancy Pelosi's front yard, which, you know, I have suggested, being snarky.
It's a great, how great would it be to have those numbers, though, in front of her yard so people could really see even a line of a fraction of them? Because when we say 100,000, that's just March, and that's just whom March. We apprehended. And it's supposed that we're only apprehending one in three. So if that holds,
amazing.
We've got over 300,000 that have snuck into the U.S. in March, and we have no idea who they are.
75,000 people a week. And you know, these are cities that have said, yes, we welcome you. You come here. We want you. So send them. They will be welcomed. It's more compassionate for them. Why put them all in San Antonio where there's no room? Send them to San Francisco. They have a lot of money there. Yeah. Send them to Palo Alto. Let's see how the Silicon Valley feels about
hundreds
them.
Dumped in every sanctuary city every day, including here in San Diego. Yeah, send them up the pike to San Francisco. We didn't get to Mueller, but we're just going to have to speak with you later. Find more at OpsLens.com. Bart, we can't thank you enough for coming on.
Too much cholesterol in the blood causes plaque buildup in the arteries. Fiber has been scientifically proven to lower cholesterol. Created by Dr. J. Robert Cade, the inventor of Gatorade, Cholesterade promotes probiotic function, supports digestive health, contains all natural flavors, and is gluten-free. In the original case study, participants saw a reduction in bad cholesterol by more than 20%. Cholesterade is the ultimate all-natural digestive aid.
Sounds of some of the best viral pet video from around the web, which is why God created the internet, right? National Pet Day was this week. It's still trending. We all love to share our pets and encourage people to adopt, don't shop, and it's very good for our health, physically and mentally, mental health. And we are joined, coming up this segment, with Kristen Shinana Walker of the Mental Health News Radio Network. Love having her on, helping us just get through the day and remember to really, really take care of ourselves, not just physically, but mentally, which could be the most important. It's all connected. Kristen, welcome back.
Thanks, Amy. I'm glad to be back.
Got a few things to talk about. Britney Spears checking herself into a hospital. She's dealing with some things, and you always talk about how when celebrities do this, it brings awareness and makes us realize we're all in this together. We all have our stuff. Oprah and Prince Harry are doing a docu-series on mental health slated for 2020, which there's a trend of big business, you know, really aligning themselves with the cause of mental health, and this is another good example. And then this is one that affects us all, Kristen. A new report finding many workers fail to take mental health days, which that used to sort of be a joke. I need a mental health day. But truly, it might be even more important than days that you need off for physical health. How would you argue with someone who says you don't really need a mental health day?
How would I argue? I'd have to sit and think, coming from a mental health field perspective, mm-hmm. what's going on with them that they're so out of touch with their needs that they think that it's okay to argue about taking a mental health day. Mm-hmm. So I would be concerned about the person that actually believes that and wonder how I can figure out where they're coming from so I don't trigger them. That's the first thing I would think.
That's a good point, because you know, the last thing you want to do is sort of make it worse and make them feel bad about what they're doing and not doing. But the study shows workers are far less likely to take time off for mental health because of, there are still, as much as we talk about, and this is why it's so good what you do, there are negative stereotypes and barriers that keep people from even admitting they have to have, you know, time off or that they have any sort of issues. And there was a survey out of 2020 U.S. adults, 1,123 of whom were employed. They shared their perceptions of burnout and mental wellness, and we all know what burnout is in the workplace. 55% report that they have felt burned out, but only 34% said they have taken time off because of it. And in contrast, 61% do take time off for physical ailments.
Right. It's still so accepted to have a broken toe, but not, dealing with a bit of a broken heart or a broken mind, or maybe just even a very tired mind. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to just power through. And this was never more prevalent for me than when I was interviewing, actually in San Diego, a fireman and another EMT worker and a couple of other gentlemen who talked about how it used to be that then when they would get calls, emergency calls from certain areas in San Diego, they knew, we better suit up a little extra special, maybe have a Kevlar vest on, what have you, because we're going to that area. And in today's world, there are no more, that's a bad area. Everywhere they have to suit up. They're stressed. And if our first responders are stressed and seeking mental health services and having a hard time in some cases finding them, those are the people that are supposed to help us when we have issues. So there's a lot going on, you know, that people don't even really see, I think. And that's why it's so fantastic every time someone like an Oprah or Prince Harry or Britney Spears or anyone helps us normalize what is already normal mm-hmm. Human feelings and behavior.
Yeah, we're going to chat about that because, but you know what? Those first responders, firefighters, medics, police, I can't imagine how stressful it is anyway, let alone if they've got some extra stuff on their minds and are really feeling the burnout. That's really tough. And you can't help but think of our military. It was 22 a day taking their lives. Now it's down to 20, which is still just tragic. And, you know, they go overseas and fight for us and they come back and this is when they can't handle it. But you have these people, sometimes they come back and they work for the DOD in certain places, and they will never admit they have issues or need help for anything because they're worried about security clearance. They're worried about the stereotype. I don't know if we're ever going to fix that, Kristen.
You know, it's such a difficult road to walk, but we're making strides. I mean, we have two physicians that are married that are coming on with a new show called Two Married Docs
on your network, Kristen.
On our network, yeah, great. And they're going to talk about physicians and physician burnout and physicians dealing with mental health challenges. And I feel like I'm so proud of them. I'm so proud to know them as human beings because we know that this is real. It's not that it isn't happening and it's only happening to these two doctors that are brave enough to come on a show and talk about it. It's happening right now. It's been happening. But the more people that will come out and say, hey, I'm a doctor and I'm willing to talk about that, the better, because listening to podcasts is easy. No one knows what you're listening to. So other doctors can hear this and feel like, okay, I'm not alone. I'm not alone out there in how I'm feeling.
I really do think that's great because doctors, you know, they've had the education. They've had the emotional, intellectual insight, education to know this is coming, how to handle it. Yet we all still go through it, no matter how smart we are, how wise, how much experience. It's the human condition. So that's really neat. Have they already started their podcast with you on the Mental Health News Radio Network, Kristen?
They start it next month, which is fantastic. And, you know, they're out on our speaking circuit. We have a speakers bureau now, so they're out working on that as well. And we have our own series coming out that's called the Mental Health Roundtable, where we have EMTs, veterans, you know, business owners, everybody you can imagine doing one-on-one talks and a group talk around a table about the struggles that we all deal with. We're not different from anyone else. Just to really help, hopefully that helps, you know, pepper the ground for what Oprah's going to do, which will have a much wider reach. But we're trying to lay the foundation for people to be able to go, oh my gosh, I understand them. They don't look like they're odd or, you know, we can relate to that person that just admitted that thing on film.
It's always worth mentioning that once you do open up and admit something that maybe is very hard to admit, you're going to have more authentic relationships and you're going to realize you're not alone at all. We're going to talk about Oprah, Prince Harry, when we come right back with Kristen after this. And just so appreciate what you do, Kristen. You're watching America Trends on YouTube America and on Blue Talk Radio. And you're with America Trends. I'm Amy Fuller, here with Kristen Sunana Walker of the Mental Health News Radio Network. Kristen, I still don't know. People are always hesitant to take a sick day anyway, let alone a mental health day. And this report that we've been talking about, the respondents from the survey are still just not willing to take time off. Or, you know, this doesn't even include the people who may just sort of fib and say, I have a cold, because it's really a mental health day they need. Here are some of their problems with it. They think an employer wouldn't consider mental health an acceptable explanation. That's 46%. They're too busy to take time off. There's too much to do at work for them to even think about not participating. Shame or judgment. Fear of someone taking over their responsibilities. You prove to your workplace you're not necessary. Maybe that they will have someone take over. And the societal stigma around mental health. So hopefully we can just, you know, keep doing better and overcoming this. And Kristen, we can listen to your podcasters to... daily we should just try to really pay attention and have some me time and take care of ourselves and realize mental health is really, you know, where it's at.
Right. I mean, look at how popular it is. It is the trending topic. Walmart has aligned itself with the term mental health. You would not have seen that 2 years ago. Apple TV has aligned itself with the term mental health. This is fantastic. It means that it's becoming accepted. It's becoming normalized. Now, is it going to take some time for it to really be normalized, trickle its way down into our workspaces and so on? Yes, it absolutely is. But we're on the way there. That's the best part about all this.
What is this docuseries that Prince Harry and Oprah are working on that's scheduled to come out next year? I'm sure they're already working on it, if it's going to be, taken into post-production anytime soon and ready for 2020.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's supposed to be with, you know, exactly what we've been talking about, people in their daily lives and how they're dealing with their own mental health struggles. And I'm sure that because of the connections that the two of them have, they'll also know that they're going to make, you know, further strides if they bring celebrities in to talk about this as well, since we're such a celebrity obsessed culture. But hey, whatever's going to get the message out, that's fine. It'll be high production value, so it'll be beautiful to watch. And, you know, people won't, I think, shy away from it because it has those two very known people's stamp of approval on it. And that's going to do a lot for everything that we just talked about. This is going to do a lot regarding opening up the discussions.
It is good when big business and Hollywood and anyone else puts their money where their mouth is. And let's face it, too, there are a few bigger names than Prince Harry and Oprah.
Right, exactly. And, you know, in the past, Oprah said she didn't have depression, she didn't have this or that, and then she did a whole series in 60 Minutes about trauma. And we in the field have known about, you know, how trauma affects the brain since forever. But for them, you know, they don't know this. And Oprah didn't know this enough to where it... Sorry, you guys. She didn't know about this enough to talk about it. And now I think she's starting to realize maybe she did have some trauma and it's okay for her to talk about it as well.
That is interesting, because when Oprah puts her mind towards something, whether it's a book club or, you know, you get on the Dr. Phil. Mental health to an extent, but he's also having people overcome their own obstacles in their mind. This is probably just the start for her then, yeah?
I would think so. You know, we open up more as we get older, and especially women, we tend to get a little more comfortable with ourselves and open up. And I'd love to see Oprah say, yeah, all those things I've talked about on my show that happened to me when I was a child, I did not come away unscathed. I did have PTSD, because she has more of an understanding of what PTSD is. Maybe she doesn't have it today, but that she did, there's no way she could have been through what she went through and not have those types of things. But she hasn't really talked about those things publicly, but I bet she will on this docuseries.
That is really true. She went through some stuff, and you know, we can get through our adult lives and think I've overcome this, and then it can pop up again unless you really and truly deal with it. So I think this will go a long way. Britney Spears, we found out that she has checked herself into a facility to help with her mental status. I guess her father is ill, and does she have bipolar, Kristen, that she's admitted or said?
You know, that's been thrown around, and it wouldn't surprise me. There's a lot of things, I'm sure. I mean, I can't imagine what kind of trauma she's been through just being in the spotlight that she's been in. But how fantastic for her to not hide this and, you know, just say, this is what I'm doing. Again, it normalizes it. She's in a high, high stress position. Her father is going through something that's life and death, and he is, you know, she loves her family. Good for her for showing us that it is totally okay to go, hey, even if I'm Britney Spears, I need to take a mental health break.
That really is good, because that whole life in the spotlight, you know, it can really agitate anything. And someone like Britney Spears, you can't just sort of walk away from and say, you know, I'm done with public life. So
right.
Any way she can deal with it and then sort of give others the benefit and sort of be a leader in saying, you know, I'm dealing with this. Here's how I did it. And you can do it too. But, you know, you just pray that she can get through, because obviously she's having a very troublesome time right now.
Yeah. And wouldn't any of us? I mean, when my father was passing away from a stroke, I was extremely upset and was most definitely in counseling through that time. And no one thought anything of it. But I'm in this field. It's not so that way outside of the field of mental health. So anytime someone like her pushes it out in front of us, we go, okay, right, maybe we all should think about how counseling is a great thing, taking mental health breaks are a good thing, and that this whole idea of perception and perfection is part of what is making us all feel like we're mentally ill at times.
So true. Maybe take a social media break. Kristen, I've got about a minute left, but I do love for you to be able to put out the call. Besides, you talk about counseling. It's okay to say, you know, just talk to someone. Go to counseling. It's not going to be posted on Facebook that you go. And they might say talk therapy is a thing. You know, there may be a little something in your brain we can help with pharmaceuticals, and that's okay too, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Better living through pharmacology is a funny saying in our world. And that's true. Sometimes, you know, our bodies do not create enough dopamine, or the release of it is too quick. So we're not able to sustain that level of peace and well-being that other people can. Nothing wrong with taking medication to help that.
Just like any other health ailment. And we thank you for what you're doing to bring awareness to it. Kristen Sinana Walker, Mental Health News Radio Network, thank you again for coming on. We'll find you at your website and download it over 170 countries. And I know you've got some exciting news you can't quite talk about yet, but we will down the pike. And we'll see you next week, okay, Kristen? Thank you so much.
Thanks, Amy. Thanks, Amy. I bet they know as soon as we walk in. Shut up, I'm wearing you. Talk to me, baby. I'm rolling up on this sweet, sweet, baby.
Good boy? Bad boy. Oh, you're a good boy, I promise.
He is carrying an iPhone.
Harness is not working well with Mr. Damien.
Hey, buddy.
Videos just the best, and those are my babies. Those are my rescue wine runners, Lucy and Cyrus. Got some great rescues in California, Southern California, and it was National Pet Day Thursday, and it's still trending. Everyone loves to share their pets and promote adoption and not shopping. So go ahead and post your favorite puppies. Put it on our page. We'll share it online maybe. Hey, thank you to our guests tonight, and you can always find us 24/7 on Facebook and on our website. Bart Marquise, Kristen Sunana Walker. It'll all be uploaded soon if you missed any of the segments, so check for that. And finally tonight, a new movie from Johnny Depp that looks pretty cool. It's called The Professor. He finds out he's got a terminal illness, and everything changes in his life. This looks like a really fun one, and we want to share it as we say goodbye for now.
It doesn't look good, Richard. In fact, to be quite frank, it looks pretty bad.
How long are we talking?
Probably 6 months.
My name is Richard. I'm your professor. From here on out,
we're going to do things very, very differently. Oh, if any of you sell marijuana, please visit me during office hours.
Thanks.
Bye.
I have cancer, and it doesn't look good.
Best of luck with your impending death.
It's your health.
There's no need to be facetious.
All right, stop.
You get a B.
But I'm not finished.
Take a seat.
Does it matter if I smoke a joint?
You gotta be kidding me.
He's trying to be.
Where'd you get that?
We're well-to-do middle-aged wasps. We can get prescriptions for anything we want, darling.
What's going on? Seem like you're drunk or on drugs?
Admittedly, we are on a bit of both.
We need to talk.
I am chancellor of this university.
Are you cheating on your wife, Henry? With the wife of a devoted faculty member. Specifically, mine.
Are you all right?
No.
Why are you and Mom still together? What happened to us, Richard?
What happened to us? Life.
Damn it, Richard, those are crystal.
She winks at me.
You just picked up that waitress in less than a minute.
Shut up, Richard.
I hope your parents all told you that you die at the end. Ooh. We sort of float without living. And you've got one shot. Grab it, snatch it up, make it yours. Don't let a moment of it slip by.
What's your gardener doing here?
He's my emergency contact.
See?
Was that it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah, that's it.
I'm Richard.